Whereas he's saying, when you're born into God's family, it's not something new you're going to just, you know, make up. It's something that's been going on for a long time. I want it to continue on, and he's going to let us know. And I want to talk to you this morning about Christian behavior toward others. Christian behavior toward others. May the Lord help us today. Father, help me now. I pray to be a help to these precious people. I pray I be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I've yielded the best I know how as a preacher, Lord, to be yielded to you. And as I talk to the people, you'll talk to us on the inside. Give us what we need, I pray. As the song was, you have to refine us by fire to make us, Lord, purified and sanctified, which is a daily cleansing and walking with God. And I pray that you'll be what you ought to be in our lives today. We'll put you where you ought to be, and that is first place. I beg and plead now in Jesus' name. Amen. Designer clothes, boy, I tell you what, are often known by their trademark. I'm not going to get into that this morning, but I saw a big billboard where a great big mall opened up again here on the south side of the county, and I bet everybody's looking for the design, you know, things. But I was reading a little article the other week. It said designer clothes are known by their trademarks or designs. They said, you know, you can know if a Tommy Hilfiger, if it's one of those shirts or ties or whatever, or you can know if it's a Ralph Lauren. Or you can know, they went on to say, if it's a doctor by his attire, what he wears when he comes through the hospital, whatever, you know, a policeman by what he wears, his attire, or a judge by what he wears or his attire. And of course, I hope you don't see him too often. But God said all his children will have the same type of a trademark. And Jesus put it this way in the New Testament. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13:35. Don't turn there. We read it later maybe in the message this morning. But the Hebrew writer here says in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Now, true faith demands true living. So if we're going to be a child of God, we're going to have to live up to the demands of a child of God. And he says you're going to be known by a trademark. And that trademark is going to be love. Loving the brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we see that Hebrews 13 gives some of the practical ethics of Christian living. We've seen 12. It talked about running the race. It talked about looking unto Jesus and all these great truths. But now he's going to talk about practical living, just ethical living as you are a child of God living in this world below. And he's going to help us to portray the true gospel that the world can be encouraged to trust Christ as their Savior. And there's no way the world wants to trust Christ if God's people can't love one another. If we're honest this morning, many reject Christ because they watch the way we live, if we're honest. Now, you don't have to say amen right there. I would, you know, it is good to say amen in a service because I believe a New Testament church, as I look and read, as I find the New Testament order, I believe that they were a church that concurred with the pastor, that if they had amens there and praised the Lord and they rejoiced and they had joy in the Lord and that was their strength and power. But I believe at times like this, we all know these are things that are truthful, but it's not some places that we say amen as when we know that there are some people that have died probably and gone to hell because they've watched our testimony and that we've contradicted ourselves and told the world that we're Christians and we live right opposite to what we've said, and therefore they've turned aside from Christ and have died and gone to hell. If we're honest, all of us probably can say that's true. And so we that are born again this morning have a serious responsibility to live above reproach, that unbelievers should not stumble at our life and criticize the way we live. For example, I used to have a jail ministry in our last pastorate, and I had one for several years. I love jail ministry. We'll start one here sometime. It might be another year before we can get it off the ground, but we're heading that direction. And I used to ask some of them fellas in there. I knew them because I saw them every Saturday. I was their pastor. Man, I'd come in there, them guys, you know, they'd stand there sometimes in this particular unit. They'd stay some time, 3 months, 6 months. And I knew most of them. They'd transfer, others come in, and so on. And I talked to them guys every week and go in there and have service with them. And I'd ask some of them, I'd say, when were you converted? And some of them would tell me, they said, well, I was converted before I even got to jail. And I said, well, why are you in jail? I thought maybe it might be because they might have stood up for some right or some truth of the Bible or something, and something took place in their life. But some of them would tell me, they'd say, no. They said, I'd say before I got in jail, but I'm in jail, preacher, because I ignored my child support and I ignored. I've got 30 parking tickets that I hadn't paid, and I'm in jail for beating my wife, or I'm in jail for something else. And I tell the guys, and they knew I was straightforward with them. I'd say, listen, fellas, I say, I appreciate being here and preaching with you and loving you and serving you, but I said, I strongly suggest that you not advertise the fact that you're a Christian at all. And they said, why, preacher? I said, because your life is a testimony against Christ instead of for Christ. I said, just don't tell nobody you're Christian until you can live up unto the standard of God. And they look at me and they say, well, preacher, you know, you're probably right. Now, you know, the sheriff always told me, he said, preacher, and he said, you're the only man in our, and this was my last pastor in Florida, he said, you're the only man that goes into this prison alone. He said, everybody takes people. You're the only preacher that does that. And I said, well, look, I'm not worried about these guys whipping me in here or nothing else. I said, I'm not worried about that at all. I went in there and preached the truth to these guys, and they love me for it. But you know, that is the truth, all of us. If we don't live up to the standard, we best not advertise we're Christian. I think oftentimes, as you know, and Alexander McLaren, one of the, in the 1800s, a great pastor, he said this, and I quote him, and I think he nailed it. He said, the world takes its notion of God most of all from those who say they belong to God's family. So, you know, I want you to remember something. The unsaved person reads us a great deal more than they read the Bible. Did y'all know an unsaved man don't have no desire to read this book? He has unsaved man don't even want to open the book because it don't make no sense to him. It's like reading a dark book. He can't understand a bit of it. So the only thing a man reads is the life of those who claim to be in God's family. So remember, when we walk out of those doors, when we go down the street, when we go to the restaurant today and we don't pray, or we do pray, and we go to the work tomorrow, and what we say in our vocabulary, our mannerisms, and all, remember that the world reads us more than they read this book, and they can see you. They only hear about Jesus. They don't know him. They never saw him. They only hear about him, but they can see you and they can see me. And here the Hebrew writer says, let brotherly love continue. Now there's a great truth there, and I want us to see that today. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and you have your Bible open. Just turn back to the first gospel book, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus here is speaking and says in verse number 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You cannot possibly live up to God's standards without God. So, in other words, daily you're not going to be able to live up to this standard unless you have God in your heart. Let me give you a few things this morning about our text. The first thing is this. I want us to see the only way, number one, the only way a church can stand and be as strong as it should be is if it stands together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. I know it's a long first statement, but how true that is. The Bible writer says in verse number 1, he says, let brotherly love continue. Now, brotherly love is the natural outflow of the Christian life. It cannot be generated. We can't generate brotherly love. I can't automatically, you see, I can't generate it because it's not something that I want to do. I don't want to love
I don't want to love a man that's you call a bum, or somebody that's beat his wife, or somebody that shot somebody and killed somebody, or somebody. I don't want to love those kind of people. But you see, when God saves a man and takes him out of the family of darkness and puts him into the family of life, there's something that's magnetism in your life that everybody that's born again, everybody that's a child of God, you love them regardless, and you love the world, and you love every man and every woman. There's God, that God puts something in you. You can't fabricate it whatsoever. It's something that God puts into you. And he says, let brotherly love continue. Now, as I look at this, is a byproduct of obeying the truth of God, and it is increased as we walk with God. And by the way, you can stifle brotherly love, and or you can nurture it. The more you read the Bible, the more you love people. The more you walk with God, the more you love anybody. I don't care who they are. There might be a prisoner that killed, might be a mass murderer. And you say, well, I tell you what, the Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That means that mass murderer is lost. He's on his way to hell. Somebody needs to get with him with the gospel and get that man saved. You see, the more you walk with God, you can nurture what the Hebrew writers say, let brotherly love continue. Or it can be stifled. If you get out of God's way, you begin to get out of outs with people. You ever been outs with people? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're outs with people, you know you're not in with God. Are you? Anybody say amen with me there? I can go ahead and tell you, if you're out with any man, if you're out with any woman, you're not in with God. Amen? Just want to let you know that. Anybody, don't make no difference who it is, you cannot be in with God and out with somebody else. It's impossible. It's impossible. Be walking with God and out with others. Now, the Hebrew writer says, let brotherly love continue. Now, if the devil is after one of your kids or your spouse, that means that now, some of you know this is true. The devil goes after your children. He might go after your wife, your husband, somebody else. But remember, if the devil goes after one of your family members, he's after you too. Don't forget, he's after you as well. He's after both of you. You see, that's the thing. When the devil comes, attacks your home, don't just say, well, no, he's after all of you. And you see, the next time that you're in church and you get out with somebody in the church ministry, or maybe a brother or sister over here, or something was said or something that was done, listen, I want to let you know, when that takes place, don't ever forget that the devil's not after that man. The devil's not after only that woman. The devil's not only after you. He's after both of you. He's after the whole group and the whole ministry, and that's why we have to stand together as brothers and sisters in Christ to be able to do war with the devil and his adversary is us. And because, you see, if we don't stand together, the devil, if he can find one person that says, I'll let that slide, he's got a foothold. You've got to know that when somebody's out with somebody else, the devil's after both of you. All of you. The writer says, let brotherly love continue. Now, and so we stand together. You know, a church fellowship based on anything else other than love for Christ and one another will not last. Dr. Warren Wisby said that, and I like that statement, and I believe it's truth. It's, if this church is established for any other reason than to love Jesus Christ, read our Bible, pray, get closer to God, walk with God, love every man, every woman, every boy and girl, love this whole neighborhood, this city, the next city, and try to win people to Christ, if we are established for any other reason, it will not last. Love brought the Son of God from heaven to die for sinners on the cross. Love won't save anybody, but it gave Christ to pay our sin debt. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love didn't save, but love brought Christ to pay our debt for sin, that you could be saved. Number two, let me hurry on. Love has its foundation in relationships. Now, where there is a relationship, there is love. Where there is no relationship, there can be no love. A couple, I read a little story the other week. I noted it in my sermon this morning. A couple went for marriage counseling, and both the man and the woman took a long list of negative things about each other. And they tried everything else. They went to the beach. They went to Hawaii. They went on marriage retreats. They went everywhere and still couldn't get any peace in the home. So finally, before they divorced, they went to a counselor. And they took this long list to him, and they told him about the husband and the wife. And they said, I want you to read. And the counselor read the whole list for the wife and the whole list for the husband. And then finally, after the counselor read the list, he took and threw both lists into the trash can. And the man said, hey, he said, you know how long it took me to write that list? He said, well, sir, he said, you and your wife are pursuing a rule book when y'all should be pursuing a relationship. And did you know that's the trouble in a lot of marriages today? You know, we don't have a relationship with one another, but the same thing with the child of God. Did you know why a lot of children of God today, this morning, are dry and empty and are drying up at the bone, and they live in a wilderness and they have no joy and they have no victory in their life and they have no zeal, they have no step, they don't come in with a song on the heart. They don't come in with rejoicing on their lips. And you say, why is it, preacher? Because we are pursuing some rule book. We've got to do this or this or this, and we've got to wear that, and we've got to shine our shoes. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, if that's all you've got, you're going to dry up and you're going to die and you're going to be miserable as anything in the world. The only way you can have joy is say, God, I'm not pursuing some rule book, but I'm pursuing Him who gave His life for me. And I want to walk with Him daily, read my Bible daily, pray daily, come in contact with Him daily, obey Him daily, listen to Him daily, pursue Him daily, love Him daily, and witness for Him daily, and be available for Him daily. And I can promise you, when you come in here on Sunday morning, it won't be the same. We pursue rules when we should be pursuing a relationship with Christ. And by the way, if you pursued it with your husband and wife, we'd be better off too, wouldn't we? And so, you know, I think about if we pursue this relationship, our life will be a life of love for all of God's children. Did y'all know this morning God's children are different colors, social standing, interest, but we are to love them all. All of them. I had, I've got several, all my life, since I was saved, I tell you what, I was raised up in the South just like some of you were. And, you know, you're raised up in a certain way. But I'm going to tell you what, the day I was saved, my eyes got open. And I didn't care if a man was Chinese, Japanese, or Indian, whatever he was, I didn't care, man. All I want to do is just say, man, if you're born again, we can fellowship because we're in God's family. Let brotherly love continue. And it's a magnetism. It's something that draws you to a man, and you can't have it, and it's not something you can fabricate. You bet you can't fabricate it in the South. But I can tell you, when God saved you and you're born again of the Spirit of God, it's something that natural that pulls you and draws you to every man, every woman, every child that's born again. You have a love for them, and you want to see them saved and come to Christ and walk with God. One of my best friends, name's Ernie Hamilton. He called me last week. We've been in contact for years. He's about 6'5". He's a black man. We've been friends for years and years. That man loves me, and I love him. He hugs me every time he sees me, and I hug him. And we've been, I don't care what color, man. Listen, salvation, God's children, don't have anything to do with color. It has to do with being in God's family. You see, that's why I can fellowship with any man that's saved. And any man that's saved, if he wants to, he can come to this church, and I'll love him just like anybody. I don't care who he is or what he is or anything. Don't make no difference to me. Because the Bible writer says, let brotherly love continue. Now, let me go to the third thing here. My last thing is nothing cools brotherly love as fast as sin. Now, I want you to notice God's command for the local church in 5 books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Christ commands us to have an outreach ministry. Now, that's to lost people, rest homes, jails, poor, widows, orphans, hungry, hurting, and the list goes on and on. But unless my heart is kept warm with the love of God, my daily relationship with Him, then my affection toward others is going to decay. Did you know why sometimes you get out with people? Because your relationship with God is, there's something that's hindering your relationship. You see, Christ commanded us, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. He said, there's a world out there that needs you. There's rest home people out there that need somebody to go down to their seat and just sit down beside their bed and talk to them about the Lord. There's somebody behind the bars that some man needs to tell. There's somebody on the street under the bridge that needs to be told that, hey, you don't have to live that way. There's somebody out there in their neighborhood that think they have everything, but somebody needs to go say, listen, you don't have nothing yet until you have Christ. All these things God wants us to do, but often we never do because something hinders our relationship with Christ. What is it, preacher? It's self-love. Self-love perverts everything in your life. If you're a lover of yourself, you have perverted the gift God has given you. You see, these conferences on self-esteem are in direct opposition of God's Word. God says you must humble yourself. Not abase, not exalt, and lift up yourself. You see, we must die if brotherly love is to continue. Self-love is fatal to our outreach ministry. If you put anything before Christ in your relationship, it's fatal. We're going to exercise God's love. We are not to seek the blessings, but use them. I'm not here to say, God, give me this and give me that, and God, what can you do for me? God teaches me. I'm not to seek no blessings from God. You say, preacher, I've never heard that before. Listen, all you've got to do is read it. I'm not to seek God's blessings. I'm to use God's blessings. You see, when I was born again in the Spirit of God, by God's Spirit drawn to Him and accepted Christ as my Savior, God says, okay, Kim, I'm taking you out of the family of the world. I'm going to put you in the family of God, and I'm going to give you this, this, and this, and this, and you use that. If I don't ever get anything else, God's given me enough to go out and be a blessing. I'm not to say, God, give me this boat, that house, this. No. I'm to use what God has already given me. And self-love stops the outreach. It's fatal to the outreach of a church. Christ said they're out there all over. We are to go and to be a blessing to them. We do not need more love. We need to use the love God's already put in us in Christ. See, when God saves you, He puts a special love in. You need to use it. You don't need more love. You don't need to go to a conference. All you need to do is just use whatsoever God's already given you in Christ. He's given you what you need. For example, what about the poor saint who laid on a bed last week with nobody from New Testament Baptist Church that came to visit him in the rest home? What about that person? You see, listen to me. Many of you this morning sitting in this building could have a wonderful ministry visiting the sick and the lonely people, but you're going to have to die to yourself. You're going to have to kill that self-love and say, God, I'm going to put you first. My relation with you is more important than myself. And then you'll go on Saturday outreach, you see, and try to reach these people. This is what the Hebrew writer is talking about. This is brotherly love. The Bible writer is saying in verse number 1, let brotherly love continue. Now, if you're a child of God this morning, y'all know what? You may not look like me, eat the things I eat, enjoy to have the sports events I love to do. You may, none of that, but guess what? If you're a child of God today, I don't care who you are, where you come from, what walk of life, it don't make no difference. I am to love you and you are to love me. And we're to walk together in one accord. And by the way, in God's help, that's what we're going to do here at New Testament Baptist Church. And you see, a church that's established on any other thing than a relationship with Christ and then the brothers and sisters in the family of Christ, they will not last. So may God help us this morning to let brotherly love continue. Boy, I was thinking about that, you know, when I was thinking about the Thanksgiving dinner we're going to have in a couple of weeks on, you know, and have a Thanksgiving, all the children, everybody. And you know what? That's exactly what the Hebrew writer was saying here in chapter 13, verse 1. He had said, that's exactly, you know what? You say, preacher, you mean we're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner? Well, those people not in my family. Hold on a minute. If you're born again, they are in your family. Lastly, if you're not born again, if you don't know this morning, look at me now before, you know, some of you go to sleep before I close my sermon, but I got to get you to look at me here. Gary, you don't, but some of the others do. I can trust Gary. If he does go to sleep, I can trust him. He sleeps on me now. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, you talked about brotherly love, but I'm not in God's family. You know, if I was, the week before I accepted Christ, I got to thinking, I said, you know, if I die, I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to tell you something, folks, God's not changed. We're going to find that in a few weeks here when I finally get to the final stage of chapter 13. It says, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to preach on that before we close out Hebrews 13. You know something? The hell was dug not for man. It was dug for the angels who revolted against God. But God has not changed. If a man dies today and you don't know for sure you're in God's family, I promise you, if God doesn't change his mind, he never has. He says, I'm not going to change it, never have, never will. You'll die and go to hell. You'll burn forever, forever, and you never get out. Nobody can get you out. No lawyer. The Bible says you'll stay. I don't know about hell. I don't know how hot it is. I don't know how severe it is. God didn't put much about it because human can't conceive such a terrible place. But I do know God put enough in here. He said it's where the worm dies not. And I know that men that die without Christ will suffer this place called hell forever. And God says it's a flame, it's a fire, it's a torment. And what God says is a torment, I don't know, but I just know that it's going to be a severe place. Our job is to get the gospel out. Folks, if you got self-love, let's die to that today. If you're out with anybody in the church, get in with them. Because I can promise you, as your pastor, you say, preacher, I'll leave the church today and never come back. Well, at least you heard the truth this morning. If you're out with any man in our church, any woman in our church, any child in our church, if you're out with your family members, if you're out with somebody at work, you can't be in with God. But this morning, if you're out of God's family, I want you to come and get saved. You say, preacher, how can I do it? Just come, these men, and be here. All you need to do is accept Christ. John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's stand for prayer. Father, this morning, thank You again, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, let brotherly love continue at New Testament Baptist Church. Lord, if there's anyone here today that was out with anybody else, I pray today they'll get in first with You. And then automatically, if they have a relationship with You, automatically they'll get in with their brother and sister in Christ. No doubt about that. Lord, also I pray for the man and woman, maybe young person here that's not sure they're in God's